Adventist World Radio. From broadcast to baptism. Powered by SID Media.
We are in the third and final hour of our program this morning, and it's time for us to connect with Pastor Rangarirai Matache to speak to us about the ripple effects of small acts of love. Today, our subject, small acts, big change. We often underestimate the power of our day-to-day interactions, but small gestures of love can create monumental shifts in relationships and in communities. From encouraging a friend to offering support to a colleague, these small acts are often the foundation of deeper connection. So today we want to explore how these little efforts can build something beautiful. My pastor, good morning. Welcome back to the show.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well this morning, Pastor. How are you doing?
I'm good. And good morning to the listeners.
Amen. Amen. All right. So, Pastor, as we begin, maybe let me ask you to pray for us first before we get into our first question.
Okay. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the chance that you've given us to explore the subject of love and small acts of kindness and how it's supposed to impact the society and the community at large. You have placed us in different regions for the manifestation of the gospel that your people may know you deeply and personally. Help us to accomplish just that. We pray for this program. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right, my pastor, in what ways do small acts of love challenge our perspectives about the power of human connection?
Okay, so often we underestimate small acts of love, we are in a world where we are told that you are important. You don't need to worry about others. You have to put yourself first.
Yeah.
So this whole self-empowerment message has much to do with you. It's always about you.
Yeah.
What do you want? What should you do? What, and less about others. So, and yet in reality, life is more, joy is found in service. There is an acronym for joy, that joy, J is for Jesus,
mm-hmm.
O is for others, and Y is for you.
Mm.
So if you put Jesus first, then others, then you. That's exactly what Jesus did. Let me quickly put scripture. Mark 12:31 says, love your neighbor as you love yourself.
Mm.
So think about others as much as you think about yourself. And then Galatians chapter 6, verse 2 says, bear one another's burdens. So let me use Matthew, for example, Matthew chapter 2. The wise men, when Jesus was born, the wise men came from the east, and they came. We know they were not Christians.
Uh-huh.
They came to Jerusalem looking for this boy who was born king. And when they finally find him, because they were directed by the star, and I always tease people and say, those who knew about the birth of Jesus and the scriptures, where he was supposed to be born, that is the Jews. When he was born, they didn't know. Those who did not know the scriptures, who had no idea when he was born, they saw the star. Sometimes it's important to have the direct connection with God. It's better to see the star that will direct you to Jesus than to know the scriptures when the actual things that the scriptures are saying happen and you don't know. So when Jesus was born, these men, they come with gifts.
Mm-hmm.
They brought three gifts, myrrh, frankincense, and gold, and they gave to Mary. That's chapter 2, verse 11. On verse 18, Herod starts massacring children. And guess what happens? The very same gifts that these men brought to Jesus were the means through which Jesus could escape to Egypt. Imagine If there were no connections,
yes,
there were no people who just come and say, we are here to service. So even in our daily life, we need each other. And we survive because of connections. Sometimes when you think you have, it was sheer luck, it's somebody who is praying for you. You might not even know.
Beautiful.
Yes.
Beautiful. And how do those acts of love strengthen relationships, even if those, they seem to be insignificant? How do they strengthen relationships?
Okay, so the small act of love, they build trust. And they create emotional connections. And they foster gratitude. Let me use 2 Kings chapter 5 in the story of Naaman. You know the maid, the little maid who was captured in Israel?
Yes.
When she was taken there, she realized that Naaman, the captain of the Syrian army, had leprosy. And all she did, she didn't read a verse, she didn't do Bible study, she just told Naaman's wife that where she is coming from, if Naaman was to go there, he would find healing. All she did was just refer. Refer Naaman to the prophets. And guess what happened? The whole movement, the king of Syria, to write a letter, send it to the king of Israel, and Naaman was. And we have a Bible, beautiful story of God's power, and the prophets of Israel, and the God of Israel was known because of the little girl that realized an opportunity and just made a reference. What we have to do, we don't need to do much. Those little acts, imagine when Naaman is coming back from Israel and he's cured of his leprosy, how is he going to treat this little maid?
Yeah.
You see, so these little acts, they will strengthen the relationship. She's definitely going to be treated well now because she contributed in the healing, not only of Naaman, but the relationships of Syria and Israel, they become better because of what a little girl did. What this says to me is you don't need to be a pastor. You don't need to be on a pulpit. You can be a child in a classroom. The little trainings that we give to our children, they can be little evangelists. I was asking other people, and I said, today, Satanism is all over. It's even in primary schools. Mm-hmm. We have young, small Satanists that are there. Why don't we have young, small Christians that are there in the same schools that can pray and rebuke these things?
That's powerful.
So we don't need to do much.
Yeah. That's powerful. I love that. And so then how do we overcome the feeling that our small efforts don't matter in the grand scheme of things? Because we can't run away from it. We see, especially the things that go on social media and the things that make it to the news headlines, it's always something grand, some big gesture. Someone bought a bus for a school, or someone has built a church in their village. Someone has done this and that. How do I get away from the feeling that my little gesture means nothing? This is a small thing. It's not going to change anything. How can I run away from that feeling?
Yeah, that's a crucial question right there. We have been taught as well. We are somehow molded to think that we can't celebrate something until it's big.
Exactly.
That's why we go to school, we don't enjoy school, we say, I can't wait until I graduate. Right. When you graduate, you say, I can't wait until I start working. When you start working, I can't wait until I buy my home. When you buy a home, I can't wait until I buy a car. I can't wait until I get married. I can't wait. The whole life, a person will not enjoy postponing and pushing enjoyment forward. What we should do, we must celebrate small wins.
Mm-hmm.
We must celebrate small wins too. We must notice that every little action matters. we must know that we are, I'm going to give you a few testimonies. Let me give you one for now. When I traveled to Beira to do my theological studies, mm-hmm. I prayed to God. I said, God, I'm going to a country where I don't know anyone and I don't know the language. Please provide a suitable accommodation for me and take me to a place where people can know you through me. Mm. And guess what? My first accommodation, it was a mess. It was horror. Mm. Where I seated first, the windows were broken. There were circles on the roof was leaking and there was terrible mosquito. At some point, I wanted to complain, like, God, what is this? Mm. Why do I have to go through this? What did I do? And then the prayer that I initially gave said to me, but you handed this thing to me. Mm. You said I should take care of you and send you where it matters most. And guess what happened? Long story short, there at that accommodation, I was in a place where I didn't know any language at all. They didn't know English. I didn't know Portuguese. Mm-hmm. And that very house that was dilapidated and shattered, that's where the son that stayed there knew English.
Oh, wow.
When I stayed there, he asked me, are you an Adventist? I said, yes. He said, I will never go to an Adventist, and I've never gone there. And he said all sorts of negative things about the church. I didn't say anything. After seeing my lifestyle, he said, I would like to go with you to church. When I was invited to go and preach, guess what happened? Mm. This same guy was my interpreter.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. That's beautiful.
So what we do in life, we might not know or see the impact, but we must know whatever small act that we do, it's a contribution. Whatever you do to contribute to someone's smile.
Yes.
To make someone's day, have some sunshine. That's huge. That's huge. And remember, everything that you do has ripple effects. If we do whatever we do, one, we must always remember it boosts our own confidence. Mm. Yes. And then we must also focus on the impact of what I'm doing. It might not be big now, but it's something that someone will remember. Years and years later.
Wow, that's beautiful.
It also makes us feel self-worth. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Sure, that's incredible. Someone on our WhatsApp line says, yo, the pastor's testimony right now is what I passed through, new place and bad accommodation. So yes, it's not a unique experience, but what do you do in that experience? Allow the Lord to use you in that experience. Nothing happens for nothing. God is in it all.
Amen.
If we're willing to allow him to use us, he can do incredible things. That's a beautiful testimony. Thank you for that. Now, what impact can repeated acts of kindness have on someone's self-worth and confidence? Yesterday, you talked about consistency in those small acts. So it's not just about doing that small thing, but doing it consistently. What impact does that have on someone's self-worth and their confidence?
Okay, so I'm going to talk about three things on this one. First, if we do this small act of love, it can boost confidence. There are some people who, they don't talk too much, they don't say much, but their smile can contribute in someone's day. Okay, so what is the impact? It can boost somebody's confidence. It can boost your confidence. It can boost my confidence. It can also foster a sense of belonging. Individuals can feel valued and connected. It can also promote self-worth. Small acts can contribute to a more positive self-image. Let me give you one more. I got sick.
Okay.
I was drinking contaminated water when I moved to there. I didn't know.
Oh.
I thought this was the water that everyone was drinking. Things were so bad.
Uh-oh.
So I was drinking this water. I didn't know the water was contaminated for 2 months, and I didn't get sick. And I finally got sick. And I started passing through with blood.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to go to hospital. I didn't know the language. They didn't know my language. And so I went to hospital. When I went to the hospital, it was so packed. You know, African hospitals.
Mm.
It was packed. Little children, pregnant mothers. And there was a huge queue. And when I went there, they greeted me in the language I didn't greet back. They noticed this person must be a foreigner. He doesn't know our language.
Mm.
And what happened next blew my mind.
Okay.
I expected to be saved last. Since I don't know the language, anyone can come and they speak. And then, you know, the Mozambicans, they surprised me. The next thing that happened, they started moving back. They communicated in the language that I didn't understand, and all of them moved back, and they started hand signaling me to go in front.
Oh, wow.
They signaled me that the next person, when that person who is being served comes out, I must go in. I was so blown. I didn't understand why, because everyone had come early, I came late, I don't know the language, and they put me in front. And when I was in, the minister, of the health minister came to that office and greeted everyone, and he realized I didn't greet back, and he spoke a little bit of English, and he noticed. They said, this guy is he doesn't speak our language. He hugged me.
Oh, wow.
You know, I was healed before I was even given the medication. The love that these people showed me, I was blown away. I felt like I'm not lost here. I felt like I belong. The treatment that they gave me, for me, that was the greatest sermon ever that the people of Mozambique preached to me without saying a word.
Wow. Wow.
So I started feeling like I am part of the community.
Yes.
Yes.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. And that speaks to the whole lesson. We always hear people talking about how, like, don't you know, oh Christian, that you're a sermon in shoes. The way that you treat people has so much, there's so much power in it. And something as simple as this person here needs help and we can't communicate, we don't speak the same language, let them go for it. And that's literally what you said at the beginning of this conversation. Jesus first, others next, and putting yourself last. That is what they practiced.
There is this feeling that you feel after you do something that brightens someone's day.
Yes.
You have this feeling that you can't buy in a shop.
Yeah. Yes.
This joy, there's this inner thrill. Appreciate that.
Yes. Yes.
It builds you. It builds others.
I love that. And it gives God the opportunity to show up in your life in miraculous ways.
Exactly.
Beautiful. Now, how can we get better at recognizing those opportunities? When God puts an opportunity in front of you to do something, how do you recognize that opportunity to practice those small acts of love in our daily routines?
Yes, so I'm going to give 4 points on this one. First, you will not see those opportunities if you're not intentional.
Okay.
You must be intentional. You must tell yourself, God, pray about it. God, create an opportunity for me to serve someone today.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to do something big. You just need to be there for someone. So the first one is be there for others. Always look for an opportunity and be there for others. The second one is be intentional. Always have an intention of helping. Do not make people's problems worse. We are living in toxic societies where everyone is thinking about themselves and we worsen some people's issues. Mm. If we can't help them, at least let's not harm them.
Mm-hmm.
So we must be intentional.
Yeah.
If I am here, no one should feel harmed or offended because of my presence.
Right.
That's intentional.
Mm-hmm.
And then be empathetic. There is a difference between empathy and sympathy.
Okay.
Sympathy is feeling for someone and imagining their pain. Empathy is being in someone's shoes.
Mm.
It's taking someone's problem and you make it yours and you start being affected the very same way the owner of the problem is affected. Mm. Let me give you a quick biblical example about this. So you find it in Joshua chapter 2. There's a story of this harlot, Rahab. Mm-hmm. And you know what's funny? Every time you read about this, the story of this lady, they always say, Rahab the harlot. Yes. Rahab the harlot.
Yes.
The lesson there is, if you do something negative, the world remembers bad things that we do more than good things that we do.
Yeah.
Yes. We are more identified with negativity rather than positivity. She hosted the spies. I want you to imagine what could have happened. She gave them crucial information about the city. She hid the spies and preserved their lives. As a result, she was later incorporated and included in the community of Israel, and she became the grandmother of Jesus. Mm. Because of one little act, she saved the whole plan of Israel to come and invade Jericho. Was in the hands of this woman that was known for her moral decadence. So, everything when we recognize the opportunities for small acts, one, we must practice mindfulness.
Okay.
We must be present and aware of the people around us. And four, we should be listeners. We should learn to listen.
Yes.
Most of the times, we listen to respond, and we don't listen to understand.
Yeah, that's true.
Before a person finishes to say this, I have already something to say, and the world needs more listeners. I learned this from women. Women can meet and talk for hours mm-hmm. about their problems without putting a single solution.
Yeah.
And after those hours, they both feel very fine.
Yeah, that's true.
They don't talk to find solutions. Just letting things out of your chest is good enough. You don't need to say anything. Just listen. Give a listening ear. Let someone feel comfortable and confident enough to say, I can go to Bongan and pour whatever is troubling me. I can have be a shoulder where someone can lean on.
Yeah.
Just be there.
Beautiful, beautiful. My pastor, thank you so much for your time this morning. I think we can end it here, and then we'll be continuing on with the conversation tomorrow. But for today, thank you so much for your time. God bless you.
Thanks, Bongan. God bless you too.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.